Hello and welcome to Resource Report, where we share with you important information about local nonprofits and resource organizations that support the community we share, produced by Pathways to Agency. I am your host, Rainmaker. Today's guest is Sarah Young, co-owner of Autism Acres. I sat down with Sarah to find out all there is to know about this wonderful play place for neurodivergent kids and their families. Later, I also asked Jenny Jenkins and her 12-year-old daughter Eva about their first time going to Autism Acres. First, we will hear from Sarah, and later, Jenny and Eva. Here's Sarah. I am here with Sarah Young at Autism Acres, and we're hanging out in the barn playhouse in the little kitchenette dining area that's really cool and been recently renovated. So, hi, Sarah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. We got some beautiful weather today.
So gorgeous.
Yeah. So tell me about yourself and Alan's background and how it connects to Autism Acres.
So my husband served for 20 years in the Army, and I have a bachelor's in crisis counseling, and I'm currently working on getting my master's and license in clinical mental health counseling. But what really connects us mostly with autism is our three boys have autism themselves. So we have one with a level 3, a level 2, and a level 1 in our household. So we really have a good spectrum going on of autism. And we are working to adopt a little girl with Down syndrome. So we have an assortment of special needs in our household, and we just love them dearly and wanted to create a space for them where they just felt super welcome and loved and included. So
that's wonderful. Yeah. I haven't heard that expression before, the levels.
Oh, okay.
I know a bit about autism, having a daughter.
Yes.
But tell me about that.
When they were diagnosed, there was different terminology. They were diagnosed mild, moderate, and severe. But since then, the terminology has just started changing. They've changed it to levels now. And so level 1 is just like less support needs, where a level 3 is higher support needs.
So, they would call it high functioning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that can be
okay. Okay, when did they change that?
It's always changing. I believe in my DSM-5 diagnostic book, it's levels at this point. So I'm not sure when it changed.
How did you and Alan come up with the idea and plan for Autism Acres?
Funny story is we bought this 5 acres because when Alan retired, he wanted to be left alone with no one around and live in peace. And instead we've opened up our property to welcome complete strangers on a weekly basis to come out and just connect and have a place to be. But honestly, it came from our faith. We knew we didn't even have church at the time. We weren't connected to any kind of body for about 6 years. And so it was kind of this, we felt like we weren't the only ones that felt so alone and isolated in this community of disability and autism and all of that. So it was, he kind of just prayed about it, and this is what popped up. So.
Wow. It's interesting to me whenever people reach out to spirit, to God, to source, and then receive a message. Is it okay if I ask to share how that internalized? Was it a dream? Was it ideas? Was it people coming in asking questions? What sparked that? I'm really curious about that.
It sparked from he felt we were actually meant to go on missions overseas, even with 3 autistic boys. He was convinced we were supposed to go to Africa or something and be on mission. And so he decided to just go to a quiet place and pray about it. And instead, he got this you don't get to pick where I gave you mission, and I've clearly called you to serve those with disabilities based on who our children were.
Okay.
And so this idea just popped in his head of turning this space into a play area. So it's just kind of this like, okay, we're not going to Africa. We are in fact staying here. And just kind of looking around, we had the bones from buying this property for everything that we've started. And so it just kind of, the blueprint was here. And we just...
The perfect foundation.
Yeah, so like the play structure, Alan had dreams of this like huge towering multi-level play structures. And when he went to like kind of draw it out, again, it was just kind of this like nudging of do something that's wheelchair accessible. Because there's not a lot of those in Washington
State.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of like just nudging and kind of just following that and it producing amazing things. So
that's really amazing. Yeah. That's really good. That's really good. So yeah, you've mentioned a couple of different features. So let's talk about the space.
Okay.
Talk about the whole the property.
So it's 5 acres.
5 acres.
And it's fully fenced. So I think that is like a big draw for families that have elopers. And kids that like to wander off. So a lot of sections are fenced, like separately fenced, but then the whole thing is entirely fenced and gated. Sometimes we keep the gate open just for the people coming and going. But if it becomes a, can we shut the gate? We'll shut the gate to make sure some kiddos don't wander off. So we have a field dedicated completely to swings. So there's different type of back and forth swings, spinning swings. So they're like large domes with different swings attached to them.
And like platform swings.
Yeah. They're like netted circle swings. And then there's one that gets spinning really fast. I don't know how kids do not throw up on those.
And then just regular normal swings.
Right. And then we just have the normal sets of swings. We have a zip line, a treehouse that was donated to us by Nelson Treehouse, who had the Treehouse Masters. They have, like, 11 seasons on Discovery.
Oh, wow.
They built really elaborate tree houses. So they ended up donating a tree house to us, which was super awesome.
That is...
Yeah.
I've been up in that tree house,
too. Awesome.
It's very
legit.
Awesome. It's, like, got, like, a sliding wooden door that opens up an entire wall.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can seal it closed again.
Yeah.
And there's you can climb up a ladder to a little loft.
Yes,
there's windows.
We want to make that like a little reading area with some sensory stuff on the wall. We have lots of plans.
You know, if you ever flood, that's the perfect.
There you go.
That's
where you'll sleep. We have a place to stay already.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Then we have our shop, which on the right-hand side with our roll-up door is where we host our teen nights.
Mm-hmm.
So that has two arcade-style games, and then it has foosball, ping pong, air hockey. We typically provide pizza for them. We'll do bonfire nights where we make s'mores and stuff. And then during the summers, we bring out the like foam machine, which is a really big hit out here. We do that both for the younger kids and our teens. All ages love them. Adults love it. It's great for everybody. On the left-hand side, we're working on making our quiet room, like for kids that just need to take a minute. They usually actually do pretty well out here. But, you know, there's just moments of being overstimulated or overwhelmed. So we're making a, like, just quieter space where they can go take a beat. So that's going to be on the left side of the shop where the door is. And then we have our 3,000 square foot barn. It's bigger now since we've done this expansion, but we converted it. It started with just the bounce house in the barn. That's where Autism Acre started. That was the roots. And
you know, that's
then,
a great route, like bounce houses, man.
It's a good start.
You can't beat it.
And then we added the trampoline, which is another, I know that's really good for their equilibriums and stuff, the bouncing. So,
and unlike us 80s kids, you've got a netted barrier.
And a good set of stairs going up to it. It's a real safe trampoline.
They're very stable stairs.
Yes.
Yep.
So trampoline, bounce house, we have the wheelchair accessible play structure. In the middle of said play structure, we have like a construction zone with dirts and trucks, and then we have a race car set for Hot Wheels.
Like a little sandbox area over there.
And then we have our playhouse area, which has like a kitchen and a play store and trains. That's usually the biggest stuff that's played with in there. We have a basketball, like arcade style, and then we have our toddler town. So that has just a little place structure, a smaller trampoline, and right now a swing's in there that we're going to move around and do some stuff.
And that's a new space that you've just recently put in.
Yeah, that's a newer space within the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And then most recently is our kitchen area. Mm-hmm. So we have like a dining place, so to speak, with a countertop and lots of seating, and then I think the biggest hit for parents is we have a coffee machine.
Y'all had that before, but it was just a little setup table.
And it was just such an unorganized mess. So yeah. I'm loving the organization.
This is a really nice happening. Little space that you've put in.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then we have a changing table area, which is huge. And it's the changing table is big enough for adults as well.
So. Yeah, I looked at it. It's actually a little massage table.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Having been a massage therapist, I recognize this.
Yeah, but it's universal.
I like that the chalkboards, the slides, the little
climbing wall.
Yeah, all kinds
of
all
sorts of
features.
Fun stuff to do.
Yeah.
And this area back here, we're gonna make it kind of more of an art area, and I went to Goodwill and just bought all sorts of different textured stuff to just kind of make a sensory textury wall.
Oh, lovely. So, and that's right next to the goats.
Yes.
That maybe we can hear in the background.
I know, the poor goats, they're crazy. They're begging for food right now. That's why they're getting all mad and yelling at us.
They were surprised to see somebody and jumped up to see me.
To say hi, yeah.
They weren't expecting people.
So, yeah,
awesome. And then you've got a pasture back there, and you've got a little pony.
Yeah, we've got too many horses, Barry and Lola. So,
what kind of horses are they?
I am unsure. I know they're not ponies, but they're miniature horses. There is a difference. Ponies can be mean.
Oh,
whereas
okay.
Many horses have the temperament of a horse. They're just smaller.
Okay.
So they're the sweetest animals. They like people, and they don't get sassy, so it's a plus.
Y'all had some llamas for a little while.
We did have, yeah. Those were, we were like caring for them.
Okay.
For some people, and then they kind of just abandoned them.
Oh, no.
And so then we had to work with an alpaca like rescue to take them and find them homes, and they were considered abandoned. But alpacas, they're just so touch and go. For us, we wanted just more friendly animals that wanted to interact with people.
Yeah.
So they would kind of run off, and the kids would just get so sad. So.
Yeah, I remember one time I came when you had the llamas. I took a couple of boys back there and sat with them and kept them quiet and still. There was a certain space that the alpacas were comfortable with, and I figured out like what that line was,
right.
And didn't let the boys cross it.
Oh, good.
We were all able to enjoy
at least just
each other's
them.
Space
yeah.
for a minute. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
So.
Yeah. So specify who do you invite here? We know Autism Acres, so obviously autistic children on the spectrum, but neurodivergence in general?
Yeah, so we kind of, if you have a diagnosis, ADHD to whatever, it's just kind of a space for people that have a more challenging time going out into public settings and just, or constantly feel judged when they go out. We just really wanted to create a safe space for them where they didn't feel like eyes were on them. Parents didn't feel like they had to apologize for any behaviors. You're welcome here. And so it's really anybody with any kind of disability, special needs, whatever the case, we really want you to feel welcome out here.
Yeah, some children do not have diagnoses, but it's the parents just are not able to navigate that, but know that there's something different about their child. And this is open to...
Right. We don't ask for any kind of paper specifying anything. So if you feel like this would be a space for your kid to connect with people and find friendship and belonging, then by all means, please come on out.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And siblings, even though they may not be neurodivergent, are welcome too, yeah?
Yeah, we never want a parent to feel like they have to find, like, childcare or something. Like, it's for the whole family. We want them to be able to come out, siblings and those with the disability, and both the parents, just everybody within the family.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So talk about the different types of activities that y'all provide, like play days, birthday parties, teen nights. I noticed that you have field trips listed on the website.
We do have field trips. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are gearing up a little bit more. I think we had one the first year we opened, but we give a 3 to 4 hour space, and we rotate classrooms. So one of the teachers, though, had told us, like, they don't budget for the special ed classes to go on field trips. It's never in the budget.
And interesting.
So she's like, they can't tell us no to a free field trip. So we've been getting more field trips just because the only thing you have to budget for is the transportation usually, and that's mm-hmm. not too steep, hopefully. So
at the very least, it's a parent chaperone thing.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. So we do field trips. Like you said, teen nights, play days. Our play day age range is from 2 to 6 is one playtime, and then we do a birthday party in between that from 12 to 2, and then 7 to 12 year olds are at our 2 to 4 play day time slot. Mm-hmm. So we have that, and then we'll do teen nights twice a month. We unfortunately have to close those down in the winter because those are usually outside and it's just dark and cold and rainy. Mm-hmm. And so those take like a break from November to, we just started them back up in April. Like I said, we do bonfire. We did an auction night, which they loved. We gave them fake money and the paddles and everything, and we auctioned off like gift cards and just snacks and stuff, and they had so much fun doing raising the paddles.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah. And then we do some adult days. We work with Lewis County Accessible Recreation.
Okay.
They do adult day outs with disabilities, and they always ask when they get to come back to Autism Acres. So
wow.
We are hosting them at the end of this month, which I'm always excited to see our friends with them.
Is that new? I haven't heard about that.
Lewis County Accessible Recreation, I think they've been around about 2 years now.
Okay.
I want to say this will be our third spring hosting of them.
Yeah.
And so then we're trying to do more purposeful focused events. So mm-hmm. like this Saturday we're doing birdhouse building and painting and wind chime.
And that's
painting.
The teen night.
So that's both for okay. the play days and the teen night.
Oh, okay, yeah. okay. And we're gonna be there.
Yay.
Yeah.
So last month was the auction night. That's right. And then I believe the next month we're doing the Lego racetrack.
Okay.
So kids get a race car base. If they want to take it home, they just build a car out of it, and then we bought a track for them to, you know, race on, and it's timed and everything. And they are welcome to take their car home that they built if they would like to. So we're trying to just do more focused events than just the play days all the time, just to give them mm-hmm. something exciting and new to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. So I remember on your website where you go into availability and you see the different playday schedules. Mm-hmm. I remember sometimes it would say homeschool days or play
yes,
days.
Thank
what
you.
Was
what, homeschool meetup?
Homeschool meetup.
Yeah.
Right.
So I homeschool my three boys, mm-hmm. and co-ops just don't typically work for our kids, mm-hmm. but there's a little more structure to them, and they want you to stay, but sometimes they want you to drop off, and that doesn't
right.
I don't know if I should just drop my kids off and go. But I wanted my kids, the biggest thing Ethan missed about school was the socializing.
Mm.
He didn't like school and never wanted to go back because of being bullied, but he wanted friends and he wanted to socialize. So every other Wednesday we do a homeschool meetup, so these kids can, there's no structure to it. It's just for them to socialize and hang out and engage with one another. So
it's a play day. It's just relabeled.
It's a play day, but for kids that are homeschooled, yes, because it's from 1 to 3 in the middle of the week. So
okay, but so yeah. It's more specifically for homeschooling families.
Yes.
So it's a play day for homeschooling families.
With disabilities,
with
yes.
Yeah,
and so we will gear up in the future. Not while I'm in school. We're not putting another thing on our plates. But we do want to do like gardening and animal care so that they then can get some of their
credit hours for homeschooling by doing something out here with us.
But okay.
That's a future project that we'll work
on. Future project. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good to know about that. How do people sign up to come for an event?
So on our website, autismacres.org, we have different tabs, and one says availability. So that's going to usually have about a month-long schedule. And there's a link that will take you to get a ticket, but the tickets are free. So you just sign up. However many kids are attending, parents don't need a ticket, just the kids. And we have 15 slots per play day or play time. So we usually kind of give a little more slots when the weather's really nice and we can kind of separate and some kids be out front. But when it's raining, 15 kids in this barn is plenty. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's through the Zephy website.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. It'll just take you to it, and it's super quick and easy, and no need to bring the ticket. That's just to make sure. Once the tickets are sold out, typically people don't just show up or anything. They respect that. So, yeah.
And that's more. It's for you to be able to keep track of the count of how many people are coming, and for records.
Yeah.
Nonprofit records. Yeah. Cool. And it is all free. There's never any cost for anything.
Never a cost.
Yeah. And you have some nice amenities here too. You recently put in a new restroom.
The
little bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to have an outhouse, and that was it. Did its purpose. It served its purpose when we first opened. Mm-hmm. For 6 months, people were going in our home to use the restroom.
Okay.
So we then upgraded to an outhouse, and then over time that just costs a lot of money to continue to pay that monthly fee. So yeah, we put a nice little ADA. It's a little tight. We will eventually be getting a bigger ADA that is much more comfortable. But yeah, we put a bathroom out there that it flushes and has running water, and it's wonderful.
It has bars and everything. Yeah. It's nice. We've been in there. Yeah. And then you also, like for your snacks, you have gluten and dairy free.
Yeah. So we offer, again, it's free snacks. And so we try to we have like these vegan bars. We just want to make sure if a kid would like a snack to have stuff that are definitely allergy friendly. So Goldfish, but also veggie straws, I believe, are gluten-free and dairy-free.
It depends on the flavor and brand.
Okay.
Yes. Make sure to check that out.
Yeah, exactly. Always read the labels. Yeah. And then we have specifically those vegan, gluten-free bars that we buy that are nut-free and allergy-free. So,
As a non-dairy person myself, I'm happy that you have a non-dairy creamer.
Hello, big old bumblebee.
Oh, he's a friendly bee trying to get outside.
We get all sorts of living creatures. You're on a farm.
Right? Yeah. How can people get involved? Do you accept any volunteering?
So we just partnered with a company. Well, I wouldn't say partner, but we'll utilize them for background checks. We'll be doing not just, I guess there's different levels of background checks, and so we want to make sure when we're having people around children that we're doing some pretty deep background checks. And then I will be, as a licensed counselor, we're going to wait until I'm licensed to then, they will have an hour-long interview with me before I give them the stamp of approval. That's if they want to be here during the playtimes with the kids. Mm-hmm. We have people come out and volunteer that do cleanup days.
Okay.
Which, as much as that doesn't seem maybe as fun, it is so helpful to us when people gather to help us pick up, there's storms and then just so much debris or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we just had a business recently come out with about 10 people, and they cleared up the front part of our yard that just was looking real shabby, and it looks great now. So there's volunteering for that, which that would just be a surfacey level background check. We still want to make sure, we've got some upstanding citizens coming out here type thing on our property. But then we'll be doing just some extra measures if people are going to be around kids. Parents are around still, but we just want to take that extra level of precaution. This is a really vulnerable population.
Definitely.
And I want to make sure they're well protected. So we haven't gotten there yet because I want to be a licensed counselor, and I just want to make sure. So in a year I graduate, and so that's probably when we'll gear up to really start doing some volunteers out here just to be able to play and interact with the kids a little bit more, to let the parents back away a little bit and just kind of take a breather. So
cool. Yeah. Let's talk about that, your counseling and schooling and what plans you have for that here in the space.
Yeah, really cool. I actually get my internship will be through Olympia Therapy, and I'll be learning Olympia Therapy.
Olympia Therapy.
And I'll mostly be learning play therapy.
Okay.
Which is just going to be super cool. It's just a different way of communicating kids versus asking all the questions, which sometimes our kids on the spectrum don't do well with the bombardment of questions. But engaging with them using play and other forms of communication. And so I think that will come hugely in hand out here. Mm-hmm. And then I would love to potentially use that form of engagement, not to offer counseling, but to try to have play groups where I am trying to get these kids to engage with one another and help to facilitate those connections and friendships. Mm-hmm. So that's the hope with my counseling degree. I will also use my counseling degree to counsel people. I, however, cannot counsel people that come out here. I can't offer that because there has to be that boundary type thing. So I won't be able to like offer like counseling sessions to families that are out here, but I could offer potentially the play group with some kiddos out here. So I'm going Northwest University. I'm doing their clinical mental health counseling program, and it's pretty intense. It was 4 classes right out the gate, master level classes, and you have to maintain a B in the classroom. So it was a lot of information right out the gate, but it's been really challenging and good, and it's been an interesting transition, me being out of the home and Alan being in the home all the time. So, but he's finding his groove.
Right on. So, right on. Yeah. Balance. Yeah.
Balance. Mm-hmm. We're learning it. It's really hard. We really want to, I guess you could in a way call us like the people pleasers. We really don't like letting people down. We want to host all the birthday party requests that we get, and we just can't. And so it's so hard to tell these people like, no, we can't throw your kid's birthday party because we only have 3 a month. That's not very many. We're not a business that's open, you know, 6 days a week that can do all the birthday parties. So that's been heart-wrenching to have to say no to those. But we're getting there. We're doing the best we can, so.
That is a challenge. Always, it's always hard to tell people no, we who care so much. But you have to take care of yourself first in order to have the capacity to care for others.
Exactly.
What would you say or other challenges that you have, or what your biggest challenge is?
Probably doing the self-care, like actually taking care of myself. My day, like I just have so much on my plate all the time that scheduling that time to not be busy with things that aren't as fun is really hard for me. I take a yearly girls trip though. I just got back from my girls trip from this year. So I definitely have a supportive husband that says, go, you need this. And we try to do that for each other and get those breaks. But I need to find those smaller, like, grounding and mindful things to do, even on a daily basis, if it's 5 or 10 minutes, just to regroup. But I don't. I'm terrible at it. And then I'm tired all the time. Or just, like, really worn down. You can tell when we've done a lot of play days back-to-back and I haven't taken care of myself, because by that third one, I am just depleted. So I really have to do a better job of taking care of myself, to better take care of my children, and then to better take care of Autism Acres. So it's hard. It's easier said than done.
Definitely. That's a challenge that I think every parent of a neurodivergent child.
Yes.
And then on the top of that, that you're managing all of this and helping other families of neurodivergent children navigate as well.
Yeah.
It's just amazing work that you're doing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I know. The parents are tired. At the end of the day, we can sit here and tell each other self-care, but they're fighting schools to properly educate their kids. They're fighting schools to properly keep their kids safe. They're fighting governments that are wanting to take away these rights of these kids. It's just fight after fight after fight, and these parents are tired. And to schedule time to take care of yourself sounds like another thing to do, if that makes sense. And so, yeah, really even them just getting a chance to sit down and talk to other adults while their kids play in a space. We didn't mention it before, but our barn has doors
Oh, yes.
To the exit. Like, there's not a way for kids to... It's not that they're locked in by any means, but it takes them a second. And where our seating is, you can see the doors to the outside, and so you have enough time to react. But these parents then get to sit or have adult conversations with people. And it just gives them a chance to breathe and regroup and know their kids are safe. And there's not someone around that's picking on them or saying, making comments about their behaviors. Like, they just get to, like, not have to be so on, if that makes sense.
Definitely. So, yeah. Really nice. Sitting, being able to sit down in such a safe space with other parents mm-hmm. who understand, and you don't feel judged and you're able to connect. That's mm-hmm. really what it's about, is the connection. It's yeah. just, man, our first time coming, I'm going to get emotional. It was just such a breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. It was such a relief mm-hmm. to know that it's just really connecting and comforting and pleasant, you yeah. know, and sharing experiences with other parents, mm-hmm. you know, I get it.
That was the whole purpose of it, too. It was the lack of connection that I know we were feeling it, and we knew a lot of other parents were feeling it. You know, you'd get invited to the park, and then I would be like, I have to chase. My kid just does nothing but wander. He's not going to play at the park, so I'm not going to sit and talk to you. I don't get to do that. I got to chase my kid around. We wanted to create that space that parents could just breathe and just connect. And I think it was now I get emotional because, like I said, my son begged to never go back to school. When COVID happened and he was out of school, he never wanted to go back. He was bullied mm-hmm. in second grade. And he had no friends. He never had had a birthday party yet because no one would come. And so after we opened and we threw his first birthday party out here, he had a list of 12 kids that he had met out here that all showed up at his birthday party. Like, my kid has a list of friends. He has people that he plays with, like, games with online. Like, that's not something he had. And I don't know if he would have had it had he continued going, had we not done this. Like, I don't know. You know, I can't make that prediction. But to give him safe friends that love him and see him for who he is, and they don't make any kind of, like, they think he's a rock star. Like, and I love that. Like, he's well-loved by people out here. And that's what the world needs to see is, these kids aren't some burden on society. They're not something that needs to be fixed. They're amazing humans that just need people to see them and love them for who they are. And sometimes it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. There are challenging moments, but it's still beautiful, and they've changed my life, and I would not change my children. If they wanted to be changed because they didn't, then fine, but I would not make that decision for them because they have made such an impact on my life that I'm so grateful for.
Yeah.
To get to know this community of people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known them had I had all neurotypical kids potentially. I wouldn't have seen them. So I try not to get too mad at people that aren't in this life because I didn't see, you know, when I went to school years ago, the special ed kids were in the classroom and you did not see them. You did mm-hmm. not engage with them.
Yep.
So I didn't have disability on my radar, so to speak, either. If I'm having that grace for others, it wasn't super on my radar. I think had someone brought some of the issues to my attention, my heart would go out to them. But it wasn't on my radar to, like, go chase it down and try to fight for
right.
this community. But now that I'm a part of it, what a beautiful community this is. Like, I wouldn't want to be a part of any other community. I love people with special needs and disabilities. They're just amazing, and I wish more people would take the time to get to know them and see them for who they are. So
yeah, I feel all of that. I resonate with all of that so mm-hmm. deeply. My oldest daughter was able to make some friends here, mm-hmm. and that's difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are there other or any other groups that work with neurodivergence as well? I think that I recently discovered that there's kind of a play place similar to what you do in Olympia, or Lacey, actually, rather.
Oh.
Yeah.
What play place is that? Do you know of it?
What's it called?
I know there's the Mad Hatter Cafe in Centralia. I believe the age cap is 7 for that, though. That's like a coffee shop with, like, this little gated-in play area. That can be a safe place for kids to play in. And then there's rock that we rock this back.
Sensory tool house.
Oh, sensory tool house. So sensory tool house isn't like a, they have needs for different, anybody, but different, they have like the headphones they offer. They have like fidgets, weighted vests, those kind of things. And you can go in there. They do have like a quiet room area, but you can go in there and test out all the stuff, which is super cool. They have it all open. Like, they have products open for the kids to, or adults, whoever needs it, to go in there and fidget with it, play with it.
Try out with things before
buying it.
Oh, that's, I haven't been there.
Yeah.
So you have mentioned some different organizations mm-hmm. that you've partnered with. Work with any other groups like that?
I mean, we've partnered with Thurston County Inclusion before. We did a Halloween little trick-or-treat thingy out on our property. Lewis County Accessible Recreations with the adults. We've partnered with them. I share, like, I'll get calls from, like, Thurston County Early Childhood Coalition. They just reached out. I'm going to go share what we offer. So we'll partner with people in the sense of, like, going to share what we offer with them. We are always willing to let... we've had ABA therapies, OT offices. They've, like, done a parents' family day, and they've come out here and utilized our facility. And, again, it's free. Like, that's what this is for. So we've had family days from different therapy offices come out and just utilize our space. So to speak, they rent it for free. And so we partner with people, anybody that wants to utilize our space, that have special, you know, needs or a disability, they're welcome to do that. This space is for you to come and utilize. So
awesome.
Yeah.
This people tend to have different philosophies and views around neurodivergency and the different ways of managing or navigating or accepting it. And you mentioned ABA therapy, and that's a very controversial therapy. So, you know, just so that people understand what environment they are coming into when they come here, as far as ideas around those things are involved. How do you feel about things like
that? I mean, we don't use any practices by any means of any kind of ABA therapy or anything. I think I see ABA for what it used to be. Abuse, you know, just some of the tactics weren't great. We have evolved, and we can evolve. Things can evolve. Therapy that I have seen firsthand that has been helpful was not to change who the person was. It was never to take away their stims. They understood that that was self-regulation. It was never to change behaviors, so to speak. Most of them, some of them, if they were unsafe behaviors, we tried to navigate that. But the biggest thing was teaching them skills to navigate the community. So one thing that firsthand was taught to my son was safe versus dangerous. So Tristan's our level 3, severe, whatever functioning you want to call that. And he would climb our fence and escape from our property a lot. And something that was just kind of reiterated to him throughout a therapy session was that once something was labeled as dangerous, he should not do that. And once we labeled climbing the fence as dangerous, he no longer does it. So that was an important piece for our family, and it never changed who my kid was. He is still very much Tristan. And he still very much does all his cute little quirks and stems and all the things he needs to do to regulate himself and his body. And that was never tried to be forced out. They tried to teach him to cook his own food. It was more of like a self-skills type therapy. And that's what they were giving him was he learned to cook his own food. He learned to use a timer on his own to do things in like... showering, like, hey, when you hear a timer go off, you know, we use a timer in the shower for him. They just like helped him learn things that would help us as parents, but mostly make his life more independent, because that's what we want. We want him to have a voice and to be able to do things on his own. So ABA, yes, controversial. There are, I think they're trying to change that it's still person-centered. There's still people at the core, you know, not just, you know, people, Pavlov and all that kind of stuff of just training it with behaviors, mm-hmm. and they only see the behavior. There are ones starting to see the person first and still recognizing that they still can consent. If they're being aversive to something that someone's trying to get them to do, that person stops. Mm-hmm. That's their way of saying, no, I don't like that, and they back away. They have a voice. And so it's evolving, and it might be slow, but I think we need to, this could be my personal opinion, but we're real quick to judge sometimes. And so I think looking into it, understanding heart, like the heart behind it, and there are some that are very much neurodivergent affirming, and that their point is not to change them, but just to give them tools to better their life and be more independent. And I'm okay with that kind of but like that can be OT. That can be, you know, OT does that kind of stuff. There are other therapies out there. Mm-hmm. But we don't practice any of it out here.
Right.
And some people might have conversations about ABA. I can't control the conversations of what people say out here. And I will, if anyone asks me, I will give them my opinion on what ABA has done or not done for my family. I think we found a super beautiful ABA therapy office that was very much neurodivergent affirming and was not out to, let's try to fit your square peg in this round hole. They were, let's drill a new hole in this board that you fit into, but just help you with some tools in life.
That's so refreshing to hear. I mean, people hear a lot of things, and mm-hmm. and this is what we're doing here, is finding right. out that particular information and getting right. it clarified. So that's an important and valuable conversation that you yeah. shared with me. Thank you.
And I don't want to downplay mm-hmm. people that have gone through a type of ABA therapy that was abuse and that was awful to them. Mm-hmm. Their story is not invalid, and I understand why they completely are written off for ABA. Like, that is completely understandable, and I'm not trying to invalidate that. That is very much valid, and I completely understand that. That has not been our experience. I think our children were very loved where they went and very much respected for who they were as people. So,
and it's not often that you hear the positive stories right. either. And, you right. know, this gives people different impressions. And it's important that people hear the full story mm-hmm. and get all of the facts. And it sounds like they're... It's the foundation of the ABA therapy, and then there's the people involved, mm-hmm. and the people may be different than the foundation of the concept.
Right. Right.
And you've said that that's changing, and there are more people waking up and realizing, mm-hmm. and that those changes are beginning to take place.
They are.
In the yeah. foundation. That's good to hear. Yeah. That's good to hear, and it's so good to hear that you had a positive experience.
Yeah.
It's being able to acknowledge that this is who my kid is, and being able to discern what is going to work and what is not going mm-hmm. to work, and being able to step in and allow your child to have their own agency
yeah.
as well mm-hmm. to say, this is not working for me, or this right. is as well. And also to be able to say no thank you to certain aspects mm-hmm. and yes please to other aspects,
right,
in finding the tools that work for you. Mm-hmm. If you choose whatever path that you choose, you can also be selective
right.
on that path. You don't have to go all 100% mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. on anything. You can cherry pick what is working, and what is not working, you can leave the rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always listened to the behaviors or reactions of my kids to any kind of therapy. And when Tristan was our last one still in, and when his ended, he multiple times through the weeks following cried and asked for his ABA therapist by name. So for me, he loved it there, and he felt safe, and he wanted to go back. And I have had my kids request, even recently, hey, can we ever go back to that? Like, they enjoyed going to ABA. So that is my kid that has very much a voice of his own, but in their own ways, they have all always told me that they liked who they were with, they liked you know, that type of therapy, and they were doing well there. And so it wasn't just, oh, we're seeing some changes here and there, so that's why we're continuing to take them. I could tell that they were enjoying it in general. So it felt good, and it worked for our family, but it's not going to work for everybody, and I'm not going to tell everybody to go do it.
So definitely.
You got to do what's best for your family. So.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would like to share?
No, I'm thankful for this opportunity to just, it's fun sharing what we're doing. It's really, every time I do it, like, just stirs that passion up again. That reminds me why we do what we do. Alan does a lot of work. I think that man needs the biggest shout out in the world, this whole thing, beyond laying the concrete, you know. And then the people that have come out to help him learn the skills. We've had Tyler come out and help him learn how to frame out walls and stuff like that. Like, we wouldn't be here without those people willing to give of their time and their talents. So I want to say that appreciation for the people that have had a heart to help us and have gotten us where we are. Like, we wouldn't be here without them. Without Alan sacrificing so much of his time that he has, we wouldn't, you know, have the amazing stuff that we have. So I'm just super appreciative of the people that have, like, caught onto our dream and have wanted to pour into that and help. So thank you to those people. Mm. We appreciate you. And we would love to just get the word out and have more families out here that are able to find that connection that you were talking about. So if that's a listener, like, come out. Everyone is welcome here. You know, I've talked about my faith a little bit, but we never want anyone to feel like, based on their, like, age or gender identity or sex or religion or whatever, that they can't come out here. Like, we want you here. You are welcome out here. And so don't let those kind of things hinder you, please. So, yeah, just come out.
Well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you for inviting me to an interview. So.
All right. I sat with Jenny Jenkins first and began by asking if she liked their first experience at Autism Acres.
We really liked it.
You only went the one time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how did y'all like that? Was it a good experience?
Yeah, it was good. I feel like, you know, I think my kids, they still struggled a little bit just with the social stuff, even with other neurodivergent kids. But they kind of have that a lot of places.
That's just your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
A lot of neurodivergent kids struggle with that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a really fun place. It was... And it felt like if my kids did start freaking out about something or just basically it felt like they could be unmasked and it was safe and people weren't just judging us or, you know, jumping to weird conclusions or something. They were like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine, you know.
We get it. So,
yeah, they get it. And that's super important to have
that
places
is.
Like that. Yeah.
That is. And that was only the first experience.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
We need to go back again. It was... But we need to go back because it was good. I feel like the swings were really cool. The barn was cool. I think my son's favorite part was just that there was animals. He was like really into the little horses and the cat, and there was a cat.
Yes.
So he was like, ooh, really excited about that. So
it's the most sweetest, loving cat.
It was really sweet.
They don't know how old the cat is, but it must be pretty old.
Yeah, it was so patient with him, and like we can't have a cat because my husband's allergic. So my kids get excited about getting to see a cat, and who will pay attention to them?
Yeah.
And oh my goodness, the little horses, so cute, and
the goats.
Yeah. So that was cool. There was fun stuff to play on and stuff. Now that the weather's better too, I feel like. You know, when we went, it was kind of rainy.
Yeah, and a little cold. It was not as fun because of this. Towards the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm thinking, oh, yeah, so now it'd be glorious out there. So we definitely need to go back.
Yeah. I remember Eva liked to sit in the swing under the treehouse.
Yeah.
It's a cozy place.
Yeah. That she was sitting there and I think she was like info dumping about some book she was into or whatever.
Yep, she was sharing that with me. That was wonderful.
Yeah, she was into that.
would you recommend it to other neurodivergent families?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think it's worth checking out. Yeah. And I talked with the dad of the family for a while, and he was just really sweet and
the owners?
Yes,
the owners. That owner, would be Alan, yeah. Sarah and yeah. Alan.
Mm-hmm. I talked with him for a bit.
Yeah.
And he was really cool and understanding. You know, sometimes I know that there's like a, you know, like on the website, it says something about like, oh, we're a Christian family and that's part of why we do this, but we don't proselytize. So like, but I was still a little nervous because we're not like that.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely like got, I didn't get a weird vibe from them at all in that way. Like they were just very like cool and open about stuff and like, not judging and into, providing a really positive and supportive environment for autistic kids and families. So that was great.
That's awesome. Is there anything else you would like to share?
What else? Oh, just that, you know, I think that it's really important to have these kinds of spaces. I wish we had more of them, honestly. Because I think our culture is not very understanding of neurodivergent people or kids or just kids in general, even not neurodivergent people. That it seems like the expectations of what kids should be able to do, you know, how regulated they should be in every environment and how much they should do everything they're told is just not realistic or healthy. And I would love to have more understanding and just more grace given to all people. And spaces like this are so important for that. And for helping kids like mine practice being in spaces when some spaces are so stressful that it's not a good place to practice being around other people or being in a different space. But a place like this, it's like, okay, this is a good place to kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit and still be safe.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Finally, I spoke with her 12-year-old daughter, Eva. Even though she was tired, she was eager to share with you her experience. Here's Eva.
How you doing, Eva?
Good, a bit tired.
So I want to talk with you about your experience at Autism Acres one time.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
It was fun.
Yeah.
Me and my brother both had a lot of fun. He played with some of the younger kids and stuff and also just climbed around. I had fun. There wasn't necessarily a lot of kids my age. I didn't hang out with people very much, but both me and my brother had a lot of fun. There were some really nice animals. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun. After some point, I remember getting, it was just really, everyone was super nice, and it was just really fun. It was very nice and outdoorsy. After a while, I got kind of tired, and I ended up sitting, there was these little hammocks, and I sat in one, and I listened to a book. Mm-hmm. But it was just really nice. It was really fun. Me and my brother had a lot of fun.
That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. What was your favorite part about it?
I don't know. It was the outdoorsiness, I guess. Like, there was a specific bit, but I just loved, like, the outdoorsiness.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was very nice. I just loved the outdoorsiness.
Would you recommend it to other neurodivergent kids?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what would you tell them?
It's really nice, and it's outdoorsy, but there also are a couple inside places, and it's really nice. And you'll most likely find some other people to hang out with, but also there's very much places you can go and be alone, and it's just very nice.
Awesome. Do you want to go back?
Yeah, I definitely want to go back again.
Awesome. And you don't mind that it's a little bit of a drive?
No, I actually really enjoyed the drive. The drive was actually really enjoyable to me.
Wonderful.
Because I really like drive. I always like long drives where you see, like, out wilderness. And a lot of it was just, you saw just a saw a bunch of forest and stuff on the drive. So I really enjoyed that. The drive, actually.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Eva.
If you have kids or teens that would appreciate this environment and would love to visit Autism Acres with them, or help Sarah and Alan with volunteering your time or resources, or if you would like to find out how to partner with them, you can email them at asyoung@autismacres.org or call 360-559-4358. You can also visit their website at autismacres.org or find them on Instagram and send Sarah a message. That's it for today's resource report produced by Pathways to Agency. At Pathways to Agency, we are driven by the belief that everyone should have the tools and support to achieve their goals and thrive in their communities. Our mission is to bridge the gaps in understanding, accessibility, and trust by connecting individuals to resources and sharing information and processes that can lead to personal and community growth. Resource Report offers information about existing and emerging nonprofits and resource organizations. Find out more at pathwaystoagency.org. You can also find our shows archived indefinitely on rss.com/podcasts/resource-report. Till next time, and thanks for listening.